It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Climate change is for real. At least that's what the science is telling us. But is there a direct connection between national security and climate change? According to Andrew Holland, there is. Mr. Holland is Senior Fellow for Energy and Climate Policy for the American Security Project, a small nonpartisan think tank based in Washington. He is in Pittsburgh as part of a national tour to talk about how a changing climate affects homeland security. And he joins us now in Studio A. Andrew Holland, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thanks. Good to be here.
So what is the connection between national security and climate change?
Well, that's a good question. Because when you first think about it, people think about climate change. They think about polar bears. You think about, you know, a green
Arctic issue.
Arctic ice. You know, things that are far away, problems that aren't affecting the United States. But, you know, once you start to think about it a little bit more, you really see that it is a threat to homeland security and to U.S. national security. And what that means is we talk about extreme weather. We talk about droughts. We talk about forest fires. We talk about coastal storms, hurricanes. We talk about all these sorts of things that are really changing. And what's happening is you see a real threat from these that's really a lot like any other homeland security threat. So the military and our national security structure has to plan for this and has to respond to this. So when you talk about homeland security, in 2012, in Hurricane Sandy, a Marine Expeditionary Force had to deploy into New York Harbor, fly in supplies to the Rockaways, to Staten Island. This is an active duty force, and you know, we always see National Guard troops, the latest tornado, the latest flood deploying for this. And this is something that we have to plan for and look for.
So we're talking about a military response to what essentially amounts to an attack, only this is an attack coming from nature, and they're managing the damage in the aftermath.
Yeah, you know, somebody I was talking to characterized Hurricane Sandy as an invasion of New York by the ocean, by the Atlantic Ocean. So, you know, and when you talk about climate change, the science says that, look, this is real, this is happening, and extreme weather events like this, we should expect to become more.
And let's talk about that, because there are a lot of people that – there are still people who are skeptics about climate change, or it's become almost like a dirty word, but global warming, that they don't necessarily accept the science. So when you are confronted with those skeptics, before we even get to the connection between between climate change and national security, what do you have to do to convince people? What do you say to those who are skeptical?
Well, first you have to start with the facts, and the facts are these. In the 20th century, the world warmed by about 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit. And the 2000, the decade of the 2000s, was the warmest decade on record. Each decade before that, going back to the 1970s, was also the warmest decade on record. So we continue to set these records. You have to look at long-term trends.
So there's a pattern.
There's a pattern. And then you start looking at extreme weather events, you know, and what you should expect in a warmer climate is more energy in the atmosphere, and so more precipitation. And so you also see that. You see more extreme precipitation events. You also see more extreme droughts. So you should see this kind of move towards the extremes, and that is what we're seeing. So, you know, if you choose not to believe that this is happening, well, you know, let's just look outside and see what's happening. You know, weather is what's happening this week. Climate is over a long-term trend. So let's look at the long-term trends. And this is no longer just something that we're predicting. It's something that we're actually seeing happen.
So the fact that we're seeing more snowfall is actually one of the residual effects of climate change, because while this may be something we associate with a colder weather event, it is actually the result of more moisture, which is the result of warmer temperatures.
Yeah, look, winter happens. We always have winter. And, you know, what we should expect is more precipitation in the atmosphere when cold air meets warm air with moisture in the atmosphere, you're going to see more snow. So that's not something that's against the models. You know, this is something we should expect. We should also expect earlier snow melt, and that means more water coming into the systems and more floods. You know, all of these things are happening and are fitting with the models.
You have said that you are here to talk to people outside of the traditional environmental groups, mm-hmm. such as?
So tonight we're actually going to the Westview VFW. We're talking with a group of veterans about how climate change is affecting the current military, current serving military people, and how the people at the Pentagon and in the national intelligence community are planning for this. We're also talking to businesses. We're talking to a range of new and different people beyond just the already converted, the environmentalists.
We're talking with a gentleman who is with who is a senior fellow for energy and climate policy for the American Security Project, Andrew Holland. He is in Pittsburgh to talk about how a changing climate affects homeland security. What makes the Pittsburgh region vulnerable to climate change?
It's a good question. We chose Pittsburgh for two reasons. First is that Pittsburgh is vulnerable to climate change. The Pennsylvania Environmental Agency put out a paper a couple of years ago saying that Allegheny County was on the line for billions of dollars at risk because of extreme flooding events. When you talk about the confluence of the three rivers here, just a relatively small flood can put a lot of built infrastructure at risk. So we should expect to see more extreme weather. And then the second thing that brought us to Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh was really at the center of a lot of what you would think of as America's 20th century security. So the steel that built America's Navy all started here. A lot of the energy that built the country came from here. The great great companies that did it. And so now in 21st century, we're trying to have to rethink what we talk about as security. It's no longer just guns and bombs and battleships and tanks. It's about building a real sustainable security, you know, where a military is not the only part of it. So, and it looks like Western Pennsylvania, Southwestern Pennsylvania is set up to be a leader in that as well. You know, natural gas, developing a nuclear industry in Westinghouse, and all of these sorts of things could lead us towards a new version of 21st century security.
And how much of that has to do with our topography? You know, when you talk about the Atlantic Ocean attacking New York City, yeah. I mean, is there the potential of our rivers attacking us?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and a lot of what's happened over the last 100 years is that we've channelized our rivers even more. So that means, you know, we protect it from short-term small floods, but the extreme floods that, you know, we hadn't seen before, we may see in the future, and we should expect to see in the future. So that means that it'll rise above what had been, you know, a previous 100-year flood will become a more likely 50-year or 25-year flood, and that's more dangerous. And yeah, I do think that we should expect to see more extremes. You know,
and in Pittsburgh, one of the concerns, particularly when it comes to the rivers, are the locks and dams. Mm-hmm. We have aging infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, how much of that is a concern in the grand scheme of things?
Absolutely, it's a huge concern. You know. It's a lot of older infrastructure that's at risk all across the country. You know, we should think about we built this infrastructure for the climate and the weather of the 20th century, sometimes even the 19th century. So when those assumptions no longer hold, and combined with the fact that that it's aging and getting older anyway, we should really kind of rethink what we're looking at here.
And so as you make this connection between national security and climate change and talk about the military response to these weather events, are we starting to see a shift in the amount of time military personnel spend fighting wars, particularly as we start to withdraw from places like Afghanistan, which is scheduled to happen this year? As these events increase, are we seeing a scenario where the military is spending more time responding to these catastrophic events as opposed to other man-made attacks and that type of thing?
Absolutely. This is something that, you know, we should think about. There's time that you can spend for more traditional security threats. And the best example of this is out in the Pacific. We've pivoted to the Pacific. So that means we're putting more forces into the Pacific, looking at our allies and looking at China. But what it also means is we saw just a few months ago Typhoon Haiyan hit the Philippines, the most powerful hurricane typhoon to ever make landfall. And immediately after, in the aftermath, we sent the USS George Washington Battle Group, which was at a port call in Hong Kong, I believe, immediately sent them at full steam over to respond to that. There was about 15,000 U.S. forces, soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, who responded to this. And that's time spent that isn't spent training or isn't spent on station at other events. It's important, and it's a growing part of our mission in the Pacific especially, but also around the world. You know, you think of you've got the combination of sea level rise, extreme storms. You know, there's a real good chance that a lot of these low-lying Pacific islands won't be there in 20 years. So what do you do when entire islands go away? For right now, the world dials 911 Navy, U.S. Navy, to come and respond to these events. And that's going to take a real toll on, you know, something that's already an issue, you know, already declining budgets, already, you know, it's something that we need to plan for and prepare for.
So is there a way to alter this scenario? What can man do? What can governments do? And if we are still the most developed or among the most developed countries in the world, what can the United States do?
Yeah, so that's a good question. The first thing that we have to realize is that some of this is already baked in the cake. Scientists will tell you that, you know, we've already seen some climate change and we're going to continue to see it. So that means we have to prepare and plan for it. Adaptation is one of the terms thrown around, but also resilience. So that gets you for the next couple of decades. When you're talking on the outer decades there, the 2040s, 2050s, we do have the ability to change this, and we do have the ability to – and that's moving towards a more sustainable energy economy. Means figuring out ways to burn less fossil fuels. Means figuring out ways to sequester fossil fuels if we do burn them. So coal, we can burn coal, but we know how to take the carbon out of those emissions and burn and bury it in the ground. It's expensive, but I believe that businesses can figure out ways to make that more efficient. You know, maybe we need to think more about nuclear power. We need to talk more about renewables, wind, solar, geothermal, nuclear, next generation nuclear, things like research and development into fusion energy. These things are ways to make sure that what's becoming a problem now doesn't become a catastrophe later. You know, there's certain things you can prepare and plan for, but when entire countries start to go away, You know, and that's in the out years when entire countries start to go away. That's real national security problems. When, you know, you're no longer able to grow the food in entire African countries that they need to survive. What are you going to do, and how are you going to deal with that? That becomes something that we need to change our systems before that happens.
Andrew Holland has been our guest. He is a senior fellow for energy and climate policy for the American Security Project, a small nonpartisan think tank based in Washington. He is in Pittsburgh as part of a national tour to talk about how a changing climate affects homeland security. Mr. Holland, thank you for joining us.
Great. Thanks. Good to be here, Paul.
Coming up, we'll explore Pittsburgh's connection to Winter Olympic history. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.